Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. Joining me in the studio, Chris Williams. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. Don't let us bother you, disturb whatever you're doing. And then we've got Dr. Sherry Keffer is here. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, let's just start off. I think many of you are aware, and of course, we're live today, and many of you are aware that Billy Graham, you could say Reverend Billy Graham, Dr. Billy Graham, went home to be with the Lord. And a lot of times we say that as a euphemism, but in this case, you literally, absolutely, 100% know he went home to be with the Lord. And I don't know that mourning his passing is even appropriate, you know, because he was such an amazing man, and instantly is where he's been looking forward to going for a very long time, and we just want to honor him. And I don't know if you guys have a Billy Graham story, but I've got one. First of all, I was able to meet him at one of the inaugurations that I was fortunate enough to go to. And, of course, he's just the most humble human being you'd ever meet. But then also, I remember when I was visiting my brother one summer in South Carolina, and I got to go to a crusade. I later would get to hear him in California. But this was, you know, earlier, and he was just full of all of the energy and momentum that so many people are familiar with. And I went to this crusade, and I heard his message, and it was such a simple message. It was it was so simple, it was profoundly simple. And then something happened with that simple message. The Holy Spirit moved through that man and through that simple message like I've never seen anything, and people responded and they came to Christ, and it was just something I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of, a real life Billy Graham crusade, to see what the Holy Spirit does. So often we're looking at our performance and all of those kinds of things. We just need to trust God to do with us whatever it is that he wants to do with us. And well, I'll tell you, Billy Graham was so committed and so focused on one thing. Let's win people to Jesus. Let's get them into heaven. And just like here, we're focused on one thing, and it's on transforming people's lives. Christians are not, we want to see them transformed. If they're not a Christian, we hope the transformation brings them closer to Christ. If they are Christians, we hope they finally get to live the Christian life that Christ has promised them. Billy Graham was a man who was focused. I really believe he honored God in so many ways. I hate to say this, certainly not a perfect man, had many flaws like everybody else, but boy, did he ever do the kingdom of God right in so many ways. And I'm honoring him, and we'll pray for his family, those who love him and knew him so well. One of his daughters said after a divorce, she had to go home. Didn't know what it was going to be like coming up that driveway. But just like the prodigal son's father, there was her dad, Billy Graham, arms open wide, full of love and acceptance. And all he cared about was how his daughter was doing. We'll be back after this.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 23rd through the 25th.
Here are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're going to get to the calls right after this. But Sherry, you had something you want to share about Billy Graham here.
Yeah, I did. So first thing, woke up this morning, that was the first thing on my phone feed. And I was amazed, one, at the loss I felt, but at the gratitude I felt at the same time. And there were two people that came to my mind outside of, you know, his family and all. My mom came to Christ through a Billy Graham crusade. She was pregnant with my youngest sister, fourth child, and was at home. And as an adult, came to the Lord through actually one of his, TV evangelism. So I know that my family changed because of him personally. Mm-hmm. And then the second person I thought of today was a friend of mine. His name is David Ford, Dr. David Ford. He's with Globe for Christ International, but he's an evangelist. And as I thought, the world needs more good men like Billy Graham. I was reminded of this colleague and friend of mine that's on my prayer team because we need these mm-hmm. leaders, right?
Yeah,
and so
that's right.
I ended up praying for David today that God would continue to build his ministry going forward. So
that's really good. And if I can share a quick thing on that, well, I mean, this morning I woke up and I saw this, something that Billy Graham had written quite a few years ago. He said, "Someday you will hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. Mm-hmm. I shall be more alive then than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will be in the presence of God."
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I mean,
love that. Thank you for knowing to read that. It's wonderful.
His life was such a testimony to Christ, and his death is as well.
Well, and I love Mike Pence's tweet. Vice President Mike Pence, his tweet today was, "Today, surely, he will be in heaven, and he will hear God say, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.'"
That's good. He sure will.
Good
stuff. You know, everybody does their best as parents, and we don't raise robots, and sometimes parents will produce a child that's just fantastic, and another child, it won't turn out so well. And so you can't judge every child that doesn't turn out well. You can't judge the parents on that because everybody has a free will. But if you look at Billy's kids, you've got, I met Ruth Graham, one of his daughters, at a conference, and she listens to our program, and just a wonderful servant of God, a strong, strong believer. And Graham Lotz is just maybe the most effective Bible teacher out there. Oh, my goodness. And I've just admired her for so many years, especially during the Women of Faith days. And then you've got his son, who is, I mean, he speaks with the same clarity and biblical authority that his dad did. And so his kids really are a great tribute to him and his father. And he always says, you know, I wish I had, you know, done some things differently as a dad, you know, being home more, things like that. And so he was a reflective man. He didn't just, you know, try to convince everybody everything I did was okay because it was for God's work and everything. And I just always admired him, and I always admired the people that admired him. And one time I was in a meeting, and it was at a publishing house, and they were disrespectful of him. And I just never, ever got over that, because all of us, I think, owe him such a debt of gratitude. Because think about this. Think of all the evil that has been put into this world, this country. Look how much good he put into this world and into this country. And he was out there saying the truth and representing God in a great way. And there weren't these moral scandals that, you know, that marred everything. You know, he would say, I'm not going to ride in a car with a female I'm not married to. And he would guard himself and protect his integrity. And I always said to people, you know, they'd say, well, you know, do you think this is right and is okay to have dinner with this person, you know, an old friend? And my thought statement was, frankly, if Billy Graham, the great Billy Graham, is not going to be alone with a woman, well, who are you? What kind of spiritual strength do you have that you think you're better than that and it would be okay for you to do it? I would just use him as the standard. Now, I have to tell you one really, really funny story. He was on an airplane, and there was a drunk man on the plane and sitting very, very close to him. And someone came up to him and said, you know, there's a man here, and I'm really sorry that he's disturbing you. And Billy said, oh, that's okay, you know, it's fine, and I hope that somebody can give him some help. So one of the flight attendants went over to the drunk man and said to him, hey, please settle down and calm yourself down, control yourself. You may not be aware of this, but Billy Graham is over there in that seat behind you. And I think we can owe him a little bit of respect. And the man turns around and sees Dr. Graham there and immediately says, Dr. Graham, you have no idea the impact you've had on my life. And Billy says, so he says, I never know what impact I might have on somebody's life. But he thought that was, you know, he made a joke. You know, he was self-deprecating. He made that joke. He talked about he went to a town one time and asked a young man, can you tell me where I can find the post office? And the little boy, about 12, said, you know, you just go down two blocks and it's right over there. And then Billy said to the little boy, well, listen, you come to the crusade tonight, and I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. And the little boy said, well, why would I come to the crusade and hear you tell me how to get to heaven when you couldn't even figure out how to get to the post office? He yeah. loved to tell stories like that about himself. And so anyway, we honor Billy Graham. We honor his family. We know that this will be a time of remorse, you know, sadness, sorrow. But also, I guarantee you, they are happy that their dad, their grandfather, uncle, all of that, that he's in heaven where he's been wanting to be for a very long time. Well, right now, let's go to the phone. And how about we talk with, let's talk with Steve from Toledo, Ohio. Hi, Steve. Welcome to New Life. How you doing today?
Good afternoon. Thank you for your reflections on Dr. Graham. I appreciate them much.
Well, you're welcome.
The reason I called is I have really just come to my wit's end on trying to establish a dialogue with my wife about some points of disagreement and contention between us.
Yeah.
And I was hoping you could give me some direction and guidance there.
Okay. So what is the biggest issue that you're having trouble with there?
Well, I guess at the moment it's a financial situation where we made a very significant expenditure of money in upgrading the size of our house to accommodate her mother, and we agreed to each pay from our incomes a certain amount, and about 9 months into it, I learned that she wasn't doing that, and I've tried to talk to her, and she just says, well, I'll pay when I can. And I just, in the past, we've had conflict, and it's ended up in sharp words and sarcasm, and I don't want to go there. I've seen that's not beneficial.
Okay. So you guys have a one of those systems where it's her money and my money kind of deal? You keep them separate?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Okay. And not by – I've seen the error of that, and that was another point that I wanted to combine finances when we did this, and she wasn't in favor of that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just start with Sherry and see if since Sherry is a female and a PhD female, maybe she's got some insight here that could help you. Sherry, you want to start us off?
Well, these situations are so layered, and I guess my first question would be, what makes her uncomfortable about blending your finances? And when did that start, when you guys were married? Because what it does is it sets up somewhat of a power differential in the relationship. And instead of working collaboratively, there is this kind of a tit-for-tat mentality. And so I can imagine if your finances are there that your relationship kind of reflects the finances. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I thought it that way, but that is correct.
Yeah. So there's these power conflicts. One person feels kind of more powerful and the other person feels less powerful. And so the only way that we can actually kind of seem to work out some sort of partnering is to both have our own separate things. What makes you afraid of – what makes you afraid and what makes her afraid of merging your resources?
I am not afraid. When we got married, we've been married almost 8 years now. She had two kids, I had two kids, and our rationale at the time was that we would have expenses and obligations with them that we should, address those each individually with our own kids, and that we would agree
But what would make her afraid? What would make her afraid? That's the question. Why would she be afraid to mix those?
That I cannot get an answer to that question, Steve. That's a question I have as well. I can speculate, but that's a problem. When I don't get answers, I start making them up in my head, and I know that's destructive as well.
Yeah.
Because you don't really, have you even asked her, right?
Yes.
Okay, and what does she say?
I have things to take care of, and I'll pay more when I can.
I'm not asking her about this problem. Have you asked her, what are you afraid of to mix our funds? What makes you afraid about that?
I have not asked her that question directly, no.
Okay, well, guess what? There's some conversations to be had by you two. Because what happens when you don't have conversations, both of you kind of go to your own corner and you kind of live very self-absorbed instead of having conversations about conflicts or fears or losses or things like that. So, this is just kind of icing on the cake or an evidence of a deeper issue underneath. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, and Steve, I want you to be able to hear that. The money issue is a symptom of a deeper problem. And the deeper problem is a lack of trust in your marriage. And it may be something that started in your marriage, but I think it goes way back. And so there's two sides of trust. There's trustworthiness, and then there's trusting. And people who can't trust, it doesn't matter how trustworthy another person is, they're not going to trust them. But what we can control is our ability to trust and our ability to be trustworthy. But I'll say this. This level of fear and control does not disappear in a marriage. It stays locked in, and in fact, it digs its heels in further if it's not addressed. And so I believe that there's a critical conversation that you need to have with your wife, and that is, hey, there is a block between us where we can't have really important and difficult conversations. I believe because fear is in our way. I really want us to be able to look at this because I believe in our marriage. I believe in you. Let's go see a marriage counselor.
So questions like this, have I done something in the term of our marriage that would have made you not trust me, either personally or financially? Looking back at her first marriage, right? Both of you came in from other situations. For all you know, she might have had some situations financially that happened in her prior marriage, and she might be holding you responsible for somebody else's bad behavior. There's all kinds of things that could be a part of this.
It just shows that you got a big symptom here that's going to require some work in a lot of different areas.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we were just talking with Steve. And just to sum this up, because Steve, you run into a very, very common problem, and that is money and kids and different things are these same arguments that we run into over and over again. But what they point to is a deeper issue. And what I hear is the issue, and what I was hearing you say, Sherry, is that there is a fear causing a distrust that I'm not sure that Steve or his wife clearly see that need marital counseling. The other thing is that how we love, Mylan and Kay's work really talks about these different, you know, these deeper things in our life and how we attach or connect to one another. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do, Steve, I want you to seek out, have that critical conversation with your wife, seek out a good marriage counselor. We have it in network, and we're going to send you a copy of How We Love. So thanks for calling in today.
It's so funny. I saw the picture.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah, I can see his house, right? And they're asking questions about moving walls, but really the problem's in the foundation. They need to dig up that cement and have someone work with them to get a better foundation relationally, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Sam. Sam's calling us. I don't know where he's calling us from, but he's calling us. So, Sam, how you doing, buddy?
Hi. I'm calling from New York.
Wonderful.
Nice. New York, all right.
How can we help you today?
Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I'm nearly 30 years old and didn't really have a serious relationship. And I'm asking, will this affect a future relationship? Am I starting from a huge disadvantage?
Well, just in general, no. But if there are some kind of rough spots that cause that, then you want to work out the rough spots. For instance, somebody might say, I'm going to get my education, then I'll pursue relationships, or I'm going to be an athlete, and then I'll take care of this other stuff. What would you say would be maybe the number one reason that you have been resistant to get in relationships?
Well, maybe I was afraid to expose myself.
You mean afraid to open up and be who you are with somebody else, or?
Yeah, this thing freaked me out in the last days because I was dating somebody, and she had a 7 years old relationship. And I just freaked out. Who she has 7 years experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So something inside feels like you're not capable, like you don't have what it takes. Like it's as if you're questioning yourself that you have what it takes to build a relationship with a young lady. Where does that come from?
Well, in the past years, I had career struggles.
Okay.
And I was embarrassed to tell this to a girl. If I'm dating somebody, yeah, I have career struggles.
Totally get that. You know how many men feel like that disqualifies them from having a relationship? Because there's a standard in your own mind that you think you need to be at a certain level because no one's going to understand or no one's going to have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to accept you even with a struggle or even a series of struggles. Like somehow it disqualifies you. And do you know that all happens in your head? Because it doesn't mean that other people are going to feel that way. There might be a very compassionate person out there that would go, oh, okay, I see what's going on. Maybe you're just trying to explore a different career field.
Well, a healthy woman won't marry a career. She will marry a person. But Sam, what Sherry is saying is that Sam's message about Sam is broken. That you're carrying a core belief about yourself that actually creates this disease called plus one. It's sort of like there's a standard that it's Sam plus a good career, Sam plus this, Sam plus that, Sam plus that. And it always creates a then mentality or when then. But what you miss out on is the now. Because that message inside of you that tells you that you're not enough is not only affecting your career, because I think it's the same issue that's affecting your career, that's affecting your relationships as well. And understanding that again, especially in Christ, Sam is enough. Sam has what it takes. Now, what's in the way is your struggles or your failures along the way are not indicators that you're not enough. They're just, that's life. And we build resiliency in working through some of those challenges. But what's happened is that mantra in 1 Corinthians 13 is love always perseveres. Is that there's something blocking you from persevering to that next level, to that next step through conflict or through difficulty. And I really believe it's looking at that message inside of you that keeps a low ceiling on your life.
You know, I think it's quite appealing to any woman when a man has struggled and then rather than roll over, play dead, or become the victim, he's able to say, and so here's what I did. When that hit, when I couldn't figure that out, or when I had that setback, so that she sees there's perseverance, resilience, mm-hmm. you're an overcomer. The very negative thing that you think would be so negative becomes the positive. We just have to be sure that we do whatever we need to do so that we don't become stuck in the struggle, that we have evidence that we're able to rise above it. We'll take this break. We'll come right back for more New Life Live.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. What I want to do, I want to send Take Your Life Back from Sam, because I think, you know, when you're reacting to something, you need help to start responding to God. And when you're living in this belief that you're not good enough, boy, I'll tell you what a great thing when you can start living out of that real self and feel good about that. So I'm going to send that to you. I hope you could get to our workshop that's coming up in March the 16th. And, so I'm really glad that you called. Anybody else, you can find out about that and the other things we're doing, including this weekend. You know, you could still go restore. If you've been hurt by a man with sexual integrity, those workshops, oh, my goodness, so many women find hope, help, healing. They find that supportive community that they have been looking for so long. And so many women go, they might be from a different town from somebody else, but they're friends 5-10 years later. It's Restore. I hope you'll go. Well, Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, let's talk about our financial need right here as we're approaching month end. What do you want to share with us today?
Yeah, well, we have a real need because we just have obligations we need to pay, but I don't want people to give out of our need to pay obligations. I want people to give because what giving does to them, what giving yes. does to help others. Right. And it's 30th anniversary, so why not give in honor of 30? Yeah, I got to thinking, 30 years, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And if we were to add up how much funds it's taken to do this for 30 years, I can't even imagine. And so that faithful giving is the very thing that keeps us Amen. On for 30 years. I wish mm-hmm. this was free, but it yeah. is not.
Well, and one more thing. If we can add up the lives that have been Bingo. Impacted over 30 years, that's yeah. It's uncountable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was looking at a thing that Henry Nouwen wrote, and he said this is kind of interesting to me. Money conversations are greater taboo than conversations about sex or religion. People may say, don't talk about religion, that's my private business. Others may say, don't talk about sex, it belongs in the bedroom. discussing money is even harder for many people, and that becomes immediately noticeable when we must do some fundraising. Often we don't feel that asking for money is an easy thing to be upfront about. The reason for the taboo is that money has something to do with that intimate place in our heart where we need security, and we don't want to reveal our need to give away our security to someone who maybe only accidentally might betray us. Mm. Well, I want to assure you that if you're given the new life, you're not going to be betrayed. The money that we spend, Steve jokes about me being tight and cheap, and I've got two other staff members that work really closely with money that make me feel like I'm just the spending guy of all guys.
You've trained them well. Yeah. You've trained them very well.
But we take your money seriously. We don't do anything that is extravagant, to a fault probably. But Sherry touched on the giving that we need ongoing and regular, and how God has maintained this ministry for 30 years. If we could have more people, and I'm asking you point blank right here, right now, to make a commitment to join our Club New Life. It's $30 a month, a dollar a day. Think about what you spend on cups of coffees in a month. Just think about other things that you spend that you don't really keep track of. If you could allot that to Club New Life, $30 a month, it's ongoing. You'll be helping people every month. Every dollar that's given goes to help people find hope and healing in life's really hard spots. And it makes a difference. I can't tell you the difference it makes. We see it. We hear it from our radio callers, our workshop attenders, people who get counseling. And I just, I said at the workshop this weekend, we were talking about Club New Life. I said, we make a point not to twist arms and not to make you feel guilty if you don't give. Well, I'm going to do differently today. I'm going to make you feel guilty. If you don't give, something's going on. Would you please give the New Life? We just need it.
Yeah, it really can be a blessing to be a member of Club New Life. You feel that blessing every single month. And I hope and pray that you will, especially if you've never have. It's a wonderful way to be a regular part of the giving family. Thank you, Larry, for that. Larry does a great job of managing the finances of this ministry, reaching out, helping as many people as possible with the least amount of money. That it's just unbelievable what we can do with a very little amount of money. But a Club New Life membership, that really helps us.
One last quick thought, Steve. Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. So if you have felt blessed, be a blessing to others. That's my desire. So thank you.
It's a great, great challenge. Well, let's go to the phones now, and let's talk with Louise, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hi there, Louise. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. How can we help you today?
I have a 13-year-old, a beautiful daughter.
You have a beautiful daughter.
I find out that she was watching the porn on my computer and the phone that I bought for her.
Yeah, okay.
So,
all right.
That's got to be tough. I took everything and I spoke with her. I also find out that she is masturbating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And I have taken everything, and we've been praying, we've been talking. My daughter, it's innate that she doesn't know how to have a conversation. I've been trying since she was a little girl, but it's just something in her.
Well, Louise, who is she having conversations with? Who's influencing her? Who are the people influencing her?
She told me it was it popped up on the phone the first time she ever encountered it.
Uh-huh. But the bigger question, that's what I would say probably if I was her. But the bigger question, I think, is who is influencing her life?
Well, that's my question because I thought I was doing everything in the book. I'm a single mom. I change my shifts frequently. I just give more than I can ever imagine being there. and our environment, protecting the environment by not, you know, we don't have anybody but I know that comes in my house.
Yeah, okay. So let me, because we're always limited on time here, I want to have Chris start to talk to you, because I think this is a painful gift that you have, that you're aware this early on that your values haven't kept her free. She's really showing some signs of a significant problem early on that hopefully you can get to the root of, gets some resolution before it takes more of her life. But Chris, what are you thinking here when you hear about a young woman, 13 years old, she's watching pornography already, really out there a little bit from where this Christian mom wants her to be?
The first thing that I hear is that this girl is really, really suffering emotionally. She doesn't, she carries big emotions inside of her, and especially the negative ones like anger, frustration, fear, maybe even a sense of emptiness. She doesn't know what to do with that. And so porn and masturbation become a medicator for that. And so there's two things. That is a very, very powerful drug, especially on a developing brain. And so doing what you can to protect your daughter from that drug use, anything that you can. However, we need to take it a step further. We need to get your daughter the help that she needs. That could be counseling. That could also be conversations. And how does she take these big emotions that are very difficult, that are bigger than her, overwhelm her, and be able to identify them and then talk through them in safe connections?
So I'm struck, Louise, by a mom who really feels like in her heart that her daughter doesn't know how to converse. I have I'm a little bit I guess confused by that when I think about little girls and how much they talk and how you've noticed a difference from the beginning. And I don't know if her daddy's ever been a part of her life. I don't know if y'all divorced or ever got married, but somewhere along the way, she felt really wounded in her heart, and she closed up like a little clam. She's longing for comfort, and that's how she's found it, through looking at porn and masturbating. But it is a false comfort. And so the first thing I would do is I would get into some work with her together, get with a counselor, and begin to build some safe conversations, not about judgment and protection, but really about what is going on in your heart and creating a safe place for her to share. She needs it. She desperately needs it.
We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror.
matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours could change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams.
Hey, Steve, I just wanted to mention real quick before we go to the next call, there are two resources that are great for parents if you just heard that last call. New Life TV, we did a couple shows called Parenting in the Digital Age. And also, Your Teenager Isn't Crazy. Those are two folks that came in as guests that we did some shows with, and great resources. Check out New Life TV. It's awesome.
Okay, very good. All right. Now, I'm going to take one more call. I'm going to talk to Katie. Before I do want to mention this wonderful debut of the movie, I Can Only Imagine, in theaters March the 16th. Really an amazing cast of characters. I've seen the movie. You will be moved by it. Dennis Quaid, Trace Adkins, Cloris Leachman, to name a few. But just top-notch directing, acting. One of the best movies I've seen. And at the end of it, with all these father issues brought up, because this is about an abusive father who comes to Christ and transforms. Because of the issues brought up, our phone number comes up at the end of that movie, and we're really excited about that and prepared to take those calls. Support the movie. Go see it. It's March 16th and beyond, and take a church group. Bring your friends. You will not be disappointed at all. Also, before this last call, don't forget that we've got Every Man's Battle March the 9th coming up, and also on the 16th is Take Your Life Back. Intimacy in Marriage. You heard some of the dramatic stories that happened this past weekend. Well, that's going to be our next one's in July, July 20th in D.C. But our final caller here is Katie, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Katie, how you doing?
Hi, I'm okay. It's an honor and a pleasure to speak with you guys. I wish it was on better terms, however.
Okay, what's going on?
My question is, how do I communicate with a husband who has anger issues and is a rageaholic? And frankly, I'm just afraid to bring this problem that I see as a problem up to him. I don't know, a little backstory. I realized after our honeymoon, he was a rager when we had a small disagreement, and he got so mad he almost crashed our car. And I've called the police 2 times. He's never hit me, but most recently I called when he got so mad, he punched our bedroom door in a rage in front of our 3-year-old and my 12-year-old daughter. We're a blended family. He feels that he was justified in that anger because my 3-year-old and I tripped and fell walking into school in front of teachers and other parents, and we both got scraped up, and I wanted to take my son to the ER just to get him checked out, and he never apologized about it. He feels it's justified, and at the moment,
I get it.
He's giving me the silent treatment.
You are...
Because I disagree with him on a discipline matter for my 12-year-old.
Okay. So you're paralyzed here. You're not willing to even talk to him.
Yes.
About it. And Chris, you want to start us off here. I really feel for these kinds of situations. And I think the bad news is that you're going to have to do something here. Chris, what are you thinking?
Yeah, this is clearly abusive. And I was thinking at first, honestly, about conversations with him. But I think that people who rage in a way that violates physical safety, it goes beyond that. The only form of communication that he's going to be able to hear is strong, hard, and fast boundaries. And so you're going to need to do everything you can to protect you, to protect your children from him. And that isn't without communication, but it is letting him know that his rage is harmful. And it's harmful to himself, it's harmful to you, and you will no longer put up with it. So you may be looking at reports and filing reports, and you may be looking at restraining orders and you may be looking at what are other arrangements that I need to make. And I don't like to go to that extreme this quickly, but the behavior you're telling me is incredibly dangerous.
Well, and for a child to be in a situation like this, where he's out of control, but the parent that he's counting on to be, you know, his strength and security isn't willing to do anything about it, that's a horrible situation for a child to be in. Sherry, you want to weigh in on this? We don't have a lot of time, but...
I think I would just offer you a resource. Leslie Vernick wrote a book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. And through that book, I like it because she helps to decipher what's emotionally disappointing and what's destructive. And I think we all three believe this is destructive. But in order to protect, as Steve just mentioned, you've got to develop a core. You've got to be willing to leave. You've got to really be able to stand strong in order to avoid the abuse that's already happening in your home.
So you're not going to be able to do that on your own. The way you can't just one day say, okay, I'm going to talk to him about it now that you've been afraid. You've got to get support. You need to know what your options are. But this is a horrible, horrible situation. And nobody is going to be able to do anything about it but you. Now, you need to talk with him. If the reason you're not talking with him is you're afraid he's going to hurt you, then you have to bring somebody else over to talk with him. And you have to have a place to stay separate after you talk with him. Or he has to be taken to a place if you don't think it's safe for you after you talk with him.
So I want to add, he's also a former military guy. He has a job with clearance as well.
All the more reason. All the more reason you have to do something sooner than later. And so you've got to take every one of the objections to doing anything. And you have to tear those apart and say, how do I overcome that? Okay, I've got to have somebody with me. Okay, so when that person leaves, he could really hurt me. So I can't be there after that person leaves. You have to take them all apart, and you have to figure this out. But you can't go on like this. Now, you might want to take a risk, and you might want to say, honey, could we talk about your anger? You could ask that at a time where you think maybe he would listen a little bit. And then if he shuts that down, then you'll need to go to the next level. The only thing you'd do when you brought up his anger is you'd say, could we go get some help so that I can help you with the anger? We can work together. We won't let the anger destroy our marriage or affect our kids. That's all you're looking for. Could we go get some help together? It's not either you get help or I'm out of here. But could we go get some help together? He might be able to hear that.
And sometimes, Steve, women in this situation are helped by finding a local domestic violence shelter or getting into a support group so they can help have people around them while they make these requests or requirements. So I think it's got to be safe.
But I understand what you're dealing with there. There's a tremendous amount of control and very little room for anything other than something positive. Well, we're out of time. I hope and pray something we've said is valuable to you. We do honor the passing of Billy Graham. You know, he said, I'm not going to heaven because I was a great preacher. I'm going to heaven because just like that thief on the cross, I'm asking God, remember me. You know, if you've never come to that place in your life, thinking about Billy Graham, he's won so many people to the Lord. I think he spoke to about 80 million people over his lifetime. They weren't all stupid people, uninformed people that came to Christ. Some were geniuses. Some were brilliant. Some were just like the rest of us, just normal people. But we knew we needed a Savior. That's what Billy Graham told the world. And we do. If you've never responded to that, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll help you with it. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Chris. Thanks to all of you who watch and listen and support and pray for us. God bless you. And we'll see you next time right here on New Life Live. Glad you're with us today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.